Ukraine security issue.
On August 7th, the 165th day of Russia's full-scale war against Ukraine, the Ukrainian armed forces continue to destroy Russian military bases, depots, nodes and logistics. The Russians were reported to be fortifying their positions in the south, while the Ukrainian forces counterattacked. According to Andriy Yusov, spokesman for the Defense Ministry's main intelligence directorate, Russian troops are preparing to retreat from the occupied Kherson region and are planting mines wherever they can.
Маємо інформацію про те, що в Херсоні окупанти здійснили мінування життєво важливих комунікацій, серед яких
We have information that the occupiers have mined gas pipelines, electricity networks and the water supply system in the Kherson region. They resort to their terror and scorched earth strategies in anticipation of an inevitable counteroffensive of Ukrainian forces in the south, said Andriy Yusov. Referring to their sources, Ukrainian journalists from the newspaper The Insider reported that the Russians could also mine power-generating units of the seized Zaporizhia nuclear power plant in Energodar. As they managed to find out, a convoy of trucks arrived on the premises of the nuclear power plant, and some of the vehicles drove into the engine room of the first power unit, where they planted mines. According to The Insider, the area around the station was mined, but there is no information on whether the power unit was also mined or used to store explosives and ammunition. The Russians store mines and ammunition near power units, under overpasses and even inside the power unit. Up to 500,000 Russian soldiers, their armored personnel carriers, anti-aircraft systems and equipment for radiochemical reconnaissance are located at the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. They shell the surrounding villages from the station, which is dangerous because their targets are close to nuclear reactors. Three radiation monitoring sensors around the site were damaged due to Russian missile attacks. Therefore, it is impossible to timely detect and respond in a case of a deterioration of the radiation situation or a leak. Dmytro Snehirov, a Ukrainian military expert, says that Russia wants to use nuclear blackmail to sway Ukraine to peace on its own terms. International institutions, except for the International Atomic Energy Agency, do not react to such provocations. Therefore, the Ukrainian side should insist on conducting an international investigation of the facts of Russia's war crimes and demand that Russia be recognized as a terrorist country, says Snehirov.
Російська Федерація намагається в першу чергу натиснути на провідні країни Заходу, схилити Україну до шляху так званих
The Russian Federation is trying to pressure the leading countries of the West and sway them to the path of so-called diplomatic negotiations. If we take a closer look at the situation, we can see that the so-called Russian activity near the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant is connected with Erdogan's statements about the possibility of peace talks. Moreover, this is how I understand such peace talks. Russian negotiators will demand from the Ukrainian side some territorial concessions, said Dmytro Snehirov. The situation in the Donbas remains tense as fierce fighting continues there. Failing to make any tangible gains on the ground, the Russians destroy everything around and kill unarmed Ukrainian civilians. Every day brings more and more victims and destruction. On Saturday, 16 villages and towns in the Donetsk region came under fire. Russian troops used all types of weapons against the civilian population, from tanks to surface-to-air missiles. As a result, 5 people were killed and 8 were injured. More than 24 apartment buildings and private houses were destroyed or damaged, as well as a school, a pedestrian bridge, and a coke chemical plant. In one of the shelled cities, a Ukrainian radio correspondent approached 2 local women who were cleaning up the yard after the shelling and searching for their belongings among the rubble. We were asleep. We went to bed at 11:45 p.m. Then we woke up 13 minutes after midnight because something was falling on us. We were in the bedroom when the window blew out. I live on the 5th floor. Today we're going to go to our children. Our bus was to take off at 5 a.m. We gathered all the documents and packed everything.
как бы вахнул один, второй, что-то посыпалось, что-то это.
We heard a bang and then another. Something crumbled. It was horrible. The walls were shaking, the windows were shaking, and the balcony door opened. Thank God I live on the third floor, so the window survived. Meanwhile, special evacuation buses take people from Donbas to safer regions of Ukraine on a daily basis. Mykhailo Pankov, a Donbas war veteran, now a teacher of history, legal studies, and defense of Ukraine, has managed to evacuate about 2,000 civilians from the Luhansk region. He told Ukrainian radio that had driving experience, and when the full-scale war began, he volunteered to evacuate people from the war zone. At the end of April, he was captured by the Russians, but miraculously broke free.
Я під'їхав під місце, там виявилися протитанкові міни. Я дав заднього ходу, і тоді з автоматів і з правого боку почався обстріл.
I drove under the bridge and found anti-tank mines there. I backed up and the Russians opened machine gun fire on the bus from the right side. They were shooting at the bus and aiming at the driver's seat. If I hadn't jumped out, I wouldn't be alive now. When we ran, they shot again. Men in military uniforms came out, told us to stand up, asked us who we were, and told us to raise our hands. They beat us one by one, asking questions. They pressured us and gave us some pills and said they would ask questions again. They were very aggressive, said Mykhailo Pankov. Earlier, foreign journalists reported that Mykhailo Pankov was released after Russian filtration. Now he is restoring his documents and planning to return to the ranks of the Ukrainian armed forces.